Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
I've been in contact with attorney Rusty Harden, who I've known for many years, and he has agreed to accept civil process for the cases that we continue to file. It's been publicly reported that the NFL is investigating. We will, of course, participate and cooperate with that to the extent we can do so given our civil court obligations.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. 25 hours from now, Tony Busby's going to hold court. Most anticipated moment of this Deshaun Watson situation, which has been going on for nearly a month now. Normally, we don't know where the haymakers are coming from. Rusty Harden will throw his. Mm-hmm. Tony Busby will throw his. But now, we have volume two of the Tony Busby press conference happening right here tomorrow on SportsRadio610.com. There has been an accuser that has gone to the police. There's no charges filed. That needs to be clear. But the police are looking into what this accuser has said about Deshaun Watson. So there's just stuff coming from many different angles when it comes to Deshaun Watson, and we're going to get a clear picture. It is going to be very theatric because that's what Tony Busby does. He does have that charisma, but it's going to be a very nervous time for Deshaun Watson because he is just going to have to sit there and watch as Tony Busby brings an unfamiliar situation for Deshaun Watson to the forefront. I'm not going to sleep much tonight because of the Strohs and the Final Four, and I might just be on such a sports high after tonight that I'm probably just not going to sleep much. Deshaun Watson's damn sure not sleeping tonight.
For different reasons. Busby, when he was talking about what he's going to discuss tomorrow, I mean, he said it's important and significant development. Of course it could just be lawyer talk, you know, over the top. Pandering and trying to craft that, you know, that court of a public opinion jury, like they've both been doing, both sides have been doing. But I mean, it's something that he's put out there. He's going to have something to lay out, and it's up to us and more specifically Rusty Harden to react to.
It's just been kind of just one of those things where there's a lot of theories. You try to avoid theories. You just go with the facts, and you go with, you know, the possibilities, and you go through them when talking about all this stuff. But there is just, there's a lot of theories going around. There's a lot of ironic stuff that does happen. Just the way in which this has happened. I go back to a couple days before this lawsuit came out. I guess it was Jim Trotter with Rich Eisen who said, you know, Deshaun Watson was going to expose the Texans and this was being documented. And next thing you know, you had the Tony Busby allegations, and it's just been it's kind of dominated the standoff that we were in the middle of with the Deshaun thing. Then you have the situation where you have Tony Busby say he's not going to go to the Houston Police Department because he doesn't trust them, and then all of a sudden someone goes to the Houston Police Department.
Right.
Is it normal for the HPD to announce that they're looking into something with somebody?
No.
And I know it's different.
Right,
I know this is
why.
Deshaun Watson.
You know why they did it.
But is that normal, and is that counterproductive for Deshaun Watson, or is that just the way that we're going about things now?
No, it's not normal, but they understand, you know, how big this case is and how public it is. So that's why they did that. And there's another aspect to this, as we've tried to make very clear. You know, this is an allegation, an HPD investigation. It's not anything more than that. But we do have to realize this is a real person that did this. You know, a lot of times we get caught up in the he said, she said or he said of these two attorneys talking, and they're just throwing verbal volleys at each other, and who knows how much of either one is real. But this is a person that went to HPD. HPD tweeted it out themselves. This wasn't Tony Busby saying it. Wasn't Rusty Harden saying it. So I find it interesting at minimum, and it might be more than that, that someone felt compelled to say, this is what I think happened. I'm going to the police. It's not like you're paying somebody to do this just as a legal, you know,
now,
tactic.
Some people on the other side of things would say, yeah, that's one way to look at it. But also, we do got to realize that Tony Busby likes to play stuff out in the public. So if there's a Sports Illustrated column coming out, could that be connected to Tony Busby? If someone's going to the police because there was a perception before this happened that, well, there's no criminal and Tony Busby's not going to go to the police because he doesn't have any evidence, could that person, because there are no charges, could that person be going to the police to continue to raise those types of questions to the public? There's a long range of possibilities, and there's a long range of things that I think just needs to, at the very least, be acknowledged here. But neither one of us, and I don't want to speak for you, mm-hmm. neither one of us feel like we need to bang on the table for either side in this.
Yep. All I'm saying is, like, why would I go to the police?
Well, if you're, well,
you know, did Tony Busby convince me to go to the police?
Maybe. My question is, and I don't know. I mean, most times
that's why I keep saying it's a real person here.
But alleging real things. But my question is this, and I think this is where there's such a gray area when it comes to this situation. If yes, in an ideal world, you go to the police whenever something's wrong's happened, and you think it dedicates police attention is needed for that. So yes, that's why you do it. But also, if you are trying to impact public opinion, and you are trying to get a settlement, which is what civil suits typically do. You're trying to get a settlement, and you're trying to pressure someone into a settlement. My question would be, what's the downside to going to the police? Like, what exactly is the risk of someone going to the police if they were connected to Tony Busby? Like,
but we don't know that.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. I'm just talking about the
other
side.
No, we don't know that this is even one of the 22.
Yeah, we have no idea, but my question is, what's the downside? Because I think the upside, if you're looking at it from a PR perspective, now all of a sudden it's, oh, well, someone did go to the police. But if the police don't find anything, what exactly is the downside to doing this, to going to this? If there is no
the downside
smoke,
the is it kind of helps Rusty Harden's cause.
So there you go. So that's why I don't think Tony Busby
had anything to do with this. He could have. And thinking that there would be charges brought, and it strengthens his case. But boy, that's a big risk to take when you have 21 going on 22 other cases already that you're filing that you feel good about, that you've done your research on and feel like you could win in a civil case. Why send this one or be a part of this one going to the police when really all it can do for your civil case, which is why you're here, is help Rusty? It's just bizarre. It's interesting. We don't know how it's going to play out. And I'll go back to, why would this person, you know, who clearly alleged something, go to the police not being involved with Tony Busby on their own? You would think Busby would advise them
now,
one way or the other.
We don't know whether they are or aren't, correct?
Correct.
Whether they are or aren't. So that would be, we got to make that clear. We have no idea. I just don't, I don't know what to make of this, but I will say that police investigations typically take a few months, I believe. I was talking to Meltz about this. They take a few months. We're looking at 24 days till the NFL draft, and that's really what we've been looking at as the deadline for Deshaun Watson to get what he's made clear that he's wanted, kind of, and that's to get out of Houston. So I wonder if we're looking at deadlines, if maybe this does intensify the pressure to settle. I think we'll get some clarity on this tomorrow. In less than 25 hours right here on Sports Radio 610 when Tony Busby does speak for the first time.
But you see what I'm saying?
In a while.
From a Busby perspective, especially when he's saying, I'm going to have this press conference Tuesday with significant developments, and he's already promised to go through other law enforcement agencies with his current clients to file or at least invest, you know, explore criminal charges, why would this person help him at all? I think it's separate. Really, this person can either lend credence to him if there is some substance.
But we don't know if it's separate or not.
We don't. I'm saying, but why would you know? Why would it be not? Why would it be part of his?
Because last week, I mean, it, just to answer like on that side of things, because last week we were saying, well, he's not going to the HPD. This is weird. What's going on?
Yeah, but he
like,
said he's no going to other agencies.
Yeah, but we thought that was weird, right?
And if he was a part of this, wouldn't he say it?
Why? Because now you're saying, well, is this person a part of it? Is this person separate from it? Like that, I think that would, I think this actually, if you're looking at this and the goal is to change public opinion, wouldn't this help? If it's unknown whether or not this person is connected to Busby?
No, it would help? Well, maybe, but it would help more if Busby says, see there, this is one of my clients. She's going to the police. That's what it just
more
make
so
sense
than a random though.
Yes,
wouldn't a
because
random
he's
add
just
to
been
it?
Yeah, he's just been criticized for not going to the police. If in order to help his case, he'd be like, "Yep, here's one of mine going to the police. That's the first, and we're going to other places." It's really bizarre to me that you know this one allegation.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Could teams though be more willing to trade for Deshaun Watson? Two teams that appear to be out of the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes 24 days away from the draft, I think you need to keep an eye on. Could Deshaun Watson find a new team within the next 24 days? We'll discuss next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
24 days away from the draft, could there be teams that are more willing to trade for Deshaun Watson despite what's going on and what's going to happen tomorrow? Noon right here, Tony Busby going to have a press conference. The Denver Broncos at one time were believed to be the favorite. Now, I think a lot of us dismissed the Denver Broncos because we assumed that the Jets and Dolphins would have the most to offer. Jets are locked in on Zach Wilson. He is going to be a New York Jet. He's going to be the second pick in the draft. Dolphins, we still don't know. There appears to be some smoke there. But could Denver emerge as a potential suitor for Deshaun Watson? Here's James Palmer, who formerly worked in this city, now with the NFL Network, talking about the latest when it comes to the Denver Broncos and their quarterback situation.
They are still looking to improve that quarterback room. But why haven't they done it yet in the veteran market? Well, let's take a look at how George Payton has gone through free agency. He's been very patient in the way he's gone about it. And at the same time, they've not really gone out there after Ryan Fitzpatrick, where they've lukewarm on Andy Dalton. They do feel like they have someone in Drew Lock that is going to be better than he was in his first season and a half in the NFL, to where they're not forcing anything. But again, as we talked about these pro days, George Payton's going to go out there and make sure he knows everything about these top five quarterbacks to put him in a position to where I do believe if the right one is there, he will trade up to get one that he has fallen in love with, but he has to make sure that he has fallen in love with one of them, so they're doing all of their due diligence there. They do want to make sure they upgrade this quarterback position. If it doesn't happen in the draft, and I mentioned that they've slow played it here in free agency, don't be surprised if they do it after the draft.
When it comes to a post-draft trade, I think Denver needs to be to the forefront. I still think all eyes are on Miami. Yeah. And as of last week, teams were still interested in Deshaun Watson. So I don't think the fact that someone has come to the cops and there's no charges and we don't know what Tony Busby's going to say, I don't think that really changes it. I think teams are still doing their due diligence. But I think if we're talking about ranking the top three teams, I think you have to have Miami at the top, Carolina in the mix, and don't sleep on Denver just yet. Do not sleep on the Denver Broncos rolling the dice and being willing to bring in Deshaun Watson, whether it be before or after the draft.
What he said right there at the end is key. You know, maybe it'll be after the draft. Well, after the draft, who's available? I mean, Deshaun Watson might be available if somebody else doesn't make the deal before. And I will say, I think while there are still teams, specifically Miami and Carolina, very much involved and interested in Deshaun Watson, the legal investigation does shed a different light on it slightly. I'm not saying they're out of the race. I'm saying it's a tougher sell to the NFL. You have to see how that goes, or at least have a good feeling for how that goes, because the league is going to be much more aware of any potential, actual criminal allegations.
Yeah, the league is keeping an eye on it. We'll see what does happen. Again, someone came to the cops. We don't know if there are going to be charges or not. The other thing about after the draft that I think you need to keep an eye on is there will be less suitors, because the chances are one of these teams, could it be Chicago trading up? Could it be the Broncos? Could it be the Panthers? One of these teams, could it be the Dolphins? One of these teams that we believe could be a potential destination for Deshaun Watson. And this is assuming that there's not a trade. At least one, two, who knows, three of these teams, they're going to commit to a quarterback.
Yep.
It's either, I mean, Carolina could trade up and draft Justin Fields. You could see the Broncos do the same thing. One of these teams is going to commit to a quarterback. So you'll be able to chalk some teams off of the list. And, and the stars could align for a post-draft trade. Denver, with the spot that they're in, Denver would be the most likely. Carolina's sitting right there at eight. Got to wonder if maybe they're willing to make a trade with the Falcons, trade a first or something like that. Or maybe they're willing to hold off for Deshaun Watson. But what Carolina does early in this draft, what Denver does Chicago get someone that they can, you know, maybe make compete with Andy Dalton? What these teams do is going to shape up even more what the market will or will not be like for Deshaun.
And from a Texans perspective, you have to understand, I'm sure they do, these other teams aren't just going to keep waiting on you. You know, they're going to fall in love. When you want to fall in love and with another quarterback, and they're right there in front of you, and you have the draft pick to get it done, and you can't get the Deshaun deal done, then they're going to commit. You know, they're not going to just keep waiting for the Texans. Well, I wonder if the Texans are ready to trade Deshaun Watson yet. I guess we'll keep waiting and not draft a franchise quarterback or acquire a quarterback another way. The Texans are getting more and more motivated to make this deal. They have to be.
The Chicago Bears, they went aggressive and tried to get Russell Wilson. Seattle said no. They settled for Andy Dalton. Could Chicago be a team that, now that there appear to be more teams out on Deshaun Watson, for whatever reason, many of the reasons being that they just like other quarterbacks, could the Chicago Bears now be more aggressive? Here's James Palmer of NFL Network, formerly here in Houston, talking about the latest in Chicago when it comes to the QB position.
I know everybody's upset in Chicago, but let's look at the options that the Bears had. They could have went after Russell Wilson, which they did, but we all knew this offseason that was a long shot. That doesn't happen. Then there's the five franchise quarterbacks at the top of this draft, and they're picking at number 20, which makes that very difficult. And then there's a drop-off after those five. So then your third option is getting a developmental quarterback and having him work and grow. It's a part of that next group of quarterbacks in this draft. And then your other one is going out and getting a free agent quarterback, a veteran quarterback, and they did that with Andy Dalton. Now, the one word being on those calls this morning with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy was fit. It was used at length. And if they believe that he fits what they want to do, they believe then probably they're going to get more out of Andy Dalton than maybe some expect.
The fan pressure in Chicago, I think, is crazy. And I think that's something to take into account. I know that there might be some fans around that don't want Deshaun Watson, regardless of what happened, just because of the perception. But in Chicago, they've been starving for a quarterback for a long, long time. And I think the thoughts, the reaction to the reality that Russell Wilson's being thrown out there, you heard Deshaun, and now all of a sudden you're settling for Andy Dalton. I just wonder that if a team that was at one point willing to trade three first-round picks and a second-round pick for Russell Wilson doesn't look down at this Deshaun Watson situation and say, all right, we're going to give you these multiple first-round picks. We're going to add some more. We have Andy Dalton as our stopgap, but you know what? We would like to bring in Deshaun Watson. And if he's suspended, so be it. We got Andy Dalton holding the fort down. But we got our quarterback. We're willing to endure it because our fans are starving for a quarterback. And quite honestly, we've been starving for a quarterback as well. I think that's another scenario to keep in mind, because it's one thing for Carolina and Miami not to want to trade those top 10 picks. But if the Chicago Bears can say, we're drafting at 20 anyways, many people believe we're a quarterback away from being great. Why don't we trade a few first-round picks and a few other draft picks for Deshaun Watson like we were willing to do for an older player in Russell Wilson? And we got this stopgap here in Andy Dalton. He can hold it down. And then Deshaun Watson, whenever he is ready to go, whenever this concludes, the NFL does their investigation, the police do their investigation, and this civil stuff gets settled. We give our fans what we want, and we got our guy for probably a cheaper price than we could have ever imagined, but the circumstances just lined up and the stars aligned.
The same thing that Miami is thinking, Denver's thinking. Same thing Miami is thinking, Chicago's thinking. This is Deshaun Watson we're talking about. Yes, big trouble, big issues, big controversy. We may have to wait. But they have a fallback plan. Each of those teams has a respective fallback plan, we would think, in Denver's case as well, depending on what they do with Drew Lock and any potential trade. But no, look, this is – Chicago's absolutely in the mix. They post – the Chicago Bears themselves posted a social media post, QB1 with Andy Dalton.
Were they trying to piss people off there?
And I'm like, what are you doing? I mean, how transparent can you be? If they came knocking on your door and said, we'll take this, this, and this, and it was good for you, you would trade for Deshaun Watson in a heartbeat.
Andrew Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. You
want QB1.
Could I interest you in a punch to the junk?
No, I don't want one.
Well, let's just go ahead and endure one anyways.
I would rather not.
Toughen up, Buttercup. Yeah. The draft in 24 days, the Texans were supposed to have the number 3 selection overall. Just listen to James Palmer talk about what the strength of this draft is. And when you listen to this, I just want you to look at this Texans roster and think about what the Texans may or may not need. And furthermore, what they gave up in order to lose that number 3 overall selection.
In this draft, there are 5 positions that really are the ones that everybody covets, right? The tackles, the corners, the edge rushers, the receivers, and quarterback.
The tackles, the corners, the edge rushers, the receivers, and the quarterback.
Other than that, it's thin. You don't have anything available at number 3 overall.
What an absolute kick to the D.
Yep. And if you had Deshaun and all the parts that have since gone or you've alienated and left, just imagine you'd have your choice of any of those. Any of those.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Sleepless nights in H-Town for different reasons. A stacked day and a very, very stressful night for Deshaun Watson. The hits are lit next.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
Crazy sequence Friday. First, you had the Houston police come out and tweet that a complaint had been filed concerning Deshaun Watson. First known report filed to HPD. As all cases up to this point have been civil. Then you had a Rusty Harden statement, quotes, "We welcome this long overdue developments. Now we will learn the identity of at least one accuser. We fully cooperate with the Houston Police Department." Then you had the NFL statements, quote, "We are continuing to monitor all developments in the matter, which remains under review of the personal conduct policy." So you had HPD put something out there. Mm-hmm. You had Rusty Harden put something out there. You had the NFL, and then you had Tony Busby acknowledge it. And then yesterday you had Tony Busby talk about the press conference that you're going to hear in about 24 hours right here on Sports Radio 610. That was a crazy stretch right there. Still really in the big scheme of things when it comes to the legal process, nothing really has changed yet, like officially. There are possibilities, but nothing has changed. But there's just a lot more angles now to what has already been a wild-ass last month or so with the Deshaun Watson legal accusations.
Well, nothing has changed yet because there are a lot of things. Huge if, but if ultimately this case is accepted and they move forward with it, there are a lot of things that we can call from that. Namely, we've mentioned numerous times over the last, how long has this been going on? A month and a half? Whatever it is. How the burden of proof is less in a civil case than a criminal case. If the DA accepts this, again, huge if, but it's there, and someone has come forward and HPD is investigating. If they do accept it, that means the DA feels they feel pretty good about some of the evidence. So that's something to keep an eye on. Another thing to keep an eye on is the NFL. I think it changes, at least makes them notice and take note how they're going to approach any potential exempt list, any potential suspension, et cetera. So, yeah, there are potentially huge ramifications here. It's just at that stage right now where it's just an investigation.
Yeah, there's a lot of possibilities. I think Tony Busby's going to, at the very least, give us something to talk about tomorrow. We're 24 hours and 25 minutes away from you hearing that right here on Sports Radio 610. This is what Busby said on Facebook yesterday. Quote, our team will hold an in-person press conference at our Houston office on the 73rd floor of Chase Tower downtown on Tuesday at noon. The press conference will address important and significant developments in the Deshaun Watson case. We will take a few questions, but only from those present. And we will also distribute info to those assembled. We will, of course, live stream the press conference here on this platform. For those that attend, security will be strict. If you have no press credentials, you will not attend.
Important and significant developments, quote, could be just bluster, but he put it out there, and he's going to have a press conference, and he's going to answer questions. That little segment right there is what really piqued my interest. He's going to have some sort of new, different approach or information here.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader Sports Radio 610. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Now we're 24 days away from the draft. We wonder what this means for a potential trade. According to Tom Pelissero, despite the fact all this is going on, teams are still interested in Deshaun Watson.
The Texans have still not engaged in trade talks on Deshaun Watson, but I can tell you they continue to get calls even as Watson faces serious allegations in more than 20 civil suits alleging a variety of different sexual misconduct. Now, it is possible that things change here in the coming weeks and months and that the Texans look to trade Deshaun Watson. But you have a lot of moving parts here, including the possibility that Watson could be placed on the commissioner's exempt list or eventually face an NFL suspension. And the longer that this goes on, the more likely it becomes that any decision on Watson's future could be pushed out into 2022.
Now, could be pushed out to 2022, but teams are still interested. I wonder how that gets impacted tomorrow. I think we'll get a much more clear picture of the situation. Hell, maybe Tony Busby comes up there and announces a settlement. Who knows?
I mean,
there's a lot of possibilities.
That thought crossed my mind as well. I mean, everything is pushing Deshaun towards settling. Everything happening here is, you know, except for maybe Rusty Harden doesn't want to. He wants to make sure he has the right wording on that there's no admission of guilt, that it's just a settlement. That could be part of it as well. I think it's definitely a possibility.
Make no mistake about it. We're in for a wild night tonight that we'll get into in just a sec. We're also in for a wild week because I can assure you, after Tony Busby speaks tomorrow, Rusty Harden will say something, do something.
Oh,
something is going to come. It will happen.
Yeah.
And they will be watching very, very closely, Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson. Do you have a watch party in these types of situations?
No, we're going to have one right here in the Loop. Join us.
At noon. But does Deshaun Watson go watch this with Rusty Harden? Does he watch it by himself? How does he do this?
He might watch it.
Does he avoid it?
He might watch it. That's a good point. He might be in Rusty's office watching it. So Rusty can ask him some specific questions right there as it's happening. Give it about 2 or 3 hours. He'll gather his thoughts, and I'm sure Rusty will have his own response.
Tomorrow, right here on Sports Radio 610, a Busby press conference. Tony Busby, Deshaun Watson presser, Volume 2. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. It's a crazy, crazy time round here. It's going to be a crazy night tonight. Shout out to Capone's and the Half Price Pizzas. I will see you shortly.
Huh.
Stros sweep the A's over the weekend. They're the first team since the 2003 New York Yankees to score 8-plus runs in each of their first four games.
Why do you keep bringing up the Yankees?
Because they broke their record. 35-9, the final score in the sweep. Just a total assing. There's really nothing articulate to say about it. Like, we could go in-depth on it, and we could tell you everything that went on. But There's only one word that describes what the Astros did to the A's, and it's assing. That was an assing.
I'm mixing sports here. They ran him out the gym. They just completely ran him out the gym and just took their will. I mean, in the fourth game, they were pitching a position player, I think, in the seventh inning, eighth inning, something like that.
It was ninth.
No, I thought – well, maybe I missed that. But anyway, but they just raised the white flag early.
Yeah, and still no Mike Fiers. The left fielder pitches before Mike Fiers.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting. But the Astros get it done. They're facing the Angels tonight, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 3-1. Probably no Shohei Ohtani, at least tonight, although he does have the internet going nuts because he's thrown the fastest pitch of any pitcher, 100.6 miles per hour, and he has the hardest hit home run of the season by any player, 115.2 miles per hour off of the bat. And the Angels, while the Astros were flying in to Disney, the Angels last night were walking it off.
One of the great stories on this Angel roster this year. Oh. Wall sends it well out to left center field. And it's gone! He went to Jared! What a finish!
Jared Walsh with the walk-off bomb. ESPN with the audio. Angels 3-1. Kind of seems like we've been just dismissing the Angels for a while. Maybe this is the year where the Angels are actually a factor. When it comes to being five games into a season, though, I don't think you could find two teams feeling better about themselves than the Astros coming off the assing of the A's and the Angels coming off that walk-off and just everything they got going on. There was a little bit of buzz, rally monkey-type buzz in Anaheim with that game. This is going to be a fun series. Again, you can't overreact. We're 2.5% through the season, but I don't know if this is a sign of things to come for the Astros, but it's hard for me to imagine them not raking all season long. They're not going to score 8 runs a game.
No, I totally agree.
But damn,
this is as good a looking look. 4 games, okay. A's could win 10 straight. I get that, but it's not going to change my opinion of what the Astros look like. They look like a team that just absolutely has every piece you need. I mean, their bullpen was solid. I mean, look what they did yesterday. I mean, they
Belak.
Yeah.
Belak came in perfectly.
Every
4 2/3.
They ran the bases. People in new positions, Jose Altuve, were basically stealing home. I mean, I know it was a sacrifice, but good gracious. They have every piece, every part that you want. I think the relationship with Dusty Baker as a group is 100% more confident. I think they really, really love Dusty. The relationship, we've seen a couple of things with him and the Hispanic players. You know, he speaks Spanish. He brings them food before games, pozole and some other foods, and he connects with them. And I just think that relationship is at a different level as well.
I mean, I think you could make a case that in the last 3 games, the starters didn't have their best stuff. But they've been able to get through. Javier ran into trouble in the 4th in game 2. McCullers was lucky to get through 5 after that first inning. And then yesterday, Urquidy didn't have his best stuff. He loaded the bases in the 1st, was able to battle through it. And you have the pen. You have Alvarez, stand-up doubles, going from first to home on Yuli hits. Like, it's pretty crazy just how everything's going. McCormick coming in for Brantley. Who, thank God, isn't hurt. He's hitting a bomb. Elidmus Diaz, when Alex Bregman has a day off, 3 hits. Everything's going well right now. Now, it's a long season. I get it.
Yeah.
But you couldn't start a season off better.
No.
Not even possible.
Did you see Grinke literally sitting crisscross applesauce on the field?
Yeah, he's doing yoga.
Yeah. What was it?
I think he's doing yoga.
It sounded like it was story time.
No idea what he's doing.
Good storytelling skills.
See, and he sat crisscross applesauce.
Doing his thing. This was the play of the week that J-Lo just mentioned. Jose Altuve on a flyout to second base off the bat of Kyle Tucker, going Willie Mays Hayes, Benny the Jet Rodriguez.
Kyle Tucker with runners on first and third, trying to get a run home. He won't hear unless this ball is dropped somehow by Andrews. He makes the play. Here comes Altuve trying to score. He does. He does. He scores on a pop-up to short.
Here's incredible. Dusty Baker on that play. When Dusty Baker says this, you know it's incredible.
You got to play with aggressiveness, and You got to play with energy, too. And, you know, Jose is one of the top energy players in the game. I mean, that was the shortest sacrifice fly I think I've ever seen. Tuck was upset because he had popped the ball up, and next thing you know, he has an RBI. It was very daring. You rarely see that.
Shortest sack fly I've ever seen. And that's a guy who's been around baseball for, I think, half a century.
He played in the 60s, I believe, early 70s for sure.
I think when he says that, I think you got to make note of it. And by the way,
played with Hank Aaron, dude. I mean, that's saying something right there.
That Dusty Gutt, Dusty Baker, it was a decision.
Mm-hmm.
He made the decision to put Altuve in the leadoff spot. Jose Altuve appears to be enjoying that spot. You thought it might be Miles Straw. There's even talk that it might be Correa. Consecutive games, the second and third game of the series, I believe, or actually the first and second, Jose Altuve, not the first at bat of the game, but leading off innings, drew a walk, and it led to runs.
Yeah.
Jose Altuve appears to be made for that leadoff spot, and there are actually Astros fans. I've actually heard from a few Loopholes. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. 610 Loophole page, Facebook page. Just request to be a member. We'll get you in there, members only. A lot of them are talking and saying, and this is not hindsight. This was being said. I think you can speak to this. There were a lot of people that felt like George Springer shouldn't have been batting leadoff from the beginning. And this is more of a hinge thing than anything. Yeah. A lot of people are now saying Altuve should have been batting leadoff from the very beginning, no matter what.
Let's not go crazy.
I'm just telling you what people are saying.
Let's not go crazy.
I'm just telling you what people are saying.
I mean, he does have a consistently higher batting average, but Springer dingers at the start of games.
They were nice.
They took your will, man.
They were nice.
They were. Is this really your opinion and you're saying they say?
No. I was,
it sounds like you're kind of down with that.
No. It's on the 610 Loopholes page. You can see it. There's a lot of people saying Altuve should have been batting leadoff from the beginning.
Would you co-sign that opinion?
How the hell am I going to change the lineup that's done
World
what
Series.
It's done with the Astros? I don't know. But it does seem like Jose Altuve is very, very comfortable in that spot. Going to be interesting to see how the rest of the lineup is handled. I know it's been four-hole Tuck early on. Tuck in the four-hole, Alvarez at six. It's working out. I guess if it's broke, don't fix it. Although Tuck did yesterday in the two-spot hit a home run and – you know, Alvarez just looks like that guy that belongs in that cleanup spot. So who knows how they handle it, but it's a nice problem to have. Also, Castro, little pop from the catcher spot with the bomb yesterday. Just a lot of stuff to enjoy with this Astros team. I think this bullpen is going to be very, very good.
That's what I said before the season started. There's a couple of guys out there that you think are really prime.
Now, Enoli has looked a little jittery so far.
But
in
he's
year
had
two.
Some... wicked stuff too. I mean, he's had some really, he's made batters look really foolish. I think he's going to settle in and be big time. We saw Belak. I mean, it's hard not to like every aspect of this team. They're put together well, man.
First Belak day yesterday, perfect. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. So we got that tonight after 8 o'clock, and we also have some championship basketball courtesy of Westwood One. Coverage beginning at 8. It is going to be the matchup many people wanted. The Baylor Bears versus Gonzaga. Final Four on Saturday. U of H, thanks for showing up.
Yeah, that was – we can just move on from that. They was over at halftime.
25-point lead for Baylor at halftime. The fourth largest –
bad for the people that traveled, though.
Lead at halftime. They're so excited.
That's the worst. I saw so many posts that I thought – like McTaggart took a day off from the Astros. A couple of people who used to work in this office I saw – taking the trip to Indianapolis, posting their picture. It's over 5 minutes in. I just felt so bad. All that money, tickets, all that stuff.
And then you had Miley Cyrus perform. I couldn't imagine watching my team get their ass kicked like that and then having to watch whatever the hell that was.
It wasn't good, and I'm a Miley Cyrus fan, but I was rough. Like, oof.
Really rough.
Nice hair, by the way. What was that all about?
Felt like there was someone drunk on stage at the karaoke
bar.
In
Indianapolis, outside Indianapolis.
Wouldn't get off there. Then you had one of the best college basketball games after that, Gonzaga versus UCLA. Gonzaga gets the dub. Charles Barkley, he's all about this Gonzaga-Baylor matchup. Jimmies and Joes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jims.
The difference between Baylor and Gonzaga and these other teams, Houston got some Joes. All these teams got some Joes. A lot of teams got gems. A lot of teams got some Joes. Baylor and Gonzaga, the only team, they're the only two teams in the tournament got gems and Joes.
Gems and Joes. Something like that.
It's clear what he's saying.
Oh, I know.
There was a media critic who didn't get it, and he asked me to explain it to him, and I was like,
really?
Here's how you do it, bud. Like,
this not the is, X's and O's. It's the Jimmys and Joes.
He had never heard it.
Really?
He's one of the top media critics.
Get out.
In New York. I'm serious. It was a.
You can say his name. I mean, he said it.
I don't know his name. I know he's just a media critic that is on in New York. I don't know his.
Barkley's refreshing. I don't care what anybody says. And he could cover the PGA for all I care.
I think Kellogg's the perfect mix for them. I think Andy Katz is a little bit uncomfortable with them because I think they just kind of walk all over him. But I think Clark Kellogg is the perfect mix for them. Andrew Marchand is the guy.
Oh, Andrew Marchand.
Yeah, Andrew Marchand.
Him. Yeah.
Used to work here. He works for the New York Post. He didn't understand what Jimmy's and Joe's meant.
Well, he's a little younger too, so maybe.
I don't think you should give him an excuse for that. That's a little bit pathetic. Here's Tillman Fertitta talking about the end of the U of H season. He's keeping his head up.
They got on a roll in the first half, and, you know, we never could get back in it, even though we really did outplay them in the second half. We outscored them by six. But Baylor's one of the great teams. They're going to have three guys in the pros. I know all about Baylor from our scouting. Congratulations to them. But we're so proud of University of Houston and to get us all here. What a blast this is for the city of Houston to be here in the Final Four.
It wasn't horse on offense.
All right.
That was very reminiscent.
Outplayed them in the second half might be a little loose. They kind of just kept you at arm's length.
With 5 minutes left, the Cougs tied Baylor's halftime score.
45.
Yeah.
Yeah, not good.
They didn't get their 45th point until 5 minutes were left in the game. That's what Baylor had at halftime.
That was rough. That was a rough one, but hey, championship will be crowned tonight. Matchup many people wanted, Baylor versus Gonzaga, and we're going to get to watch the Stros. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. As if that isn't enough, the Deshaun Watson legal battle is going to come to a complete peak tomorrow. 24 hours away from Must Hear. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. We'll get you ready.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.